So picking up really on the theme of where we've been, of opening our eyes to whatever, so we open up our eyes to evangelism, hopefully not like this. I know lots of people, when you mention evangelism, and they're absolute panic, and they sort of run, dive behind a sofa and hide and hope that it'll all pass. I guess if I asked everybody here to define what evangelism is, I'd get probably 50-odd different answers. Because we all come to it as a topic with our own prejudices from one direction or another, and they're based either on our own churchmanship or on our personal experiences. So I thought, what's the definition of evangelism? Well, I Googled it. This is what it says in Google. Evangelism is the act of sharing the Christian gospel or teachings of Jesus Christ. It involves a communication through faith, your faith through words, to become followers of Jesus. So I looked at Webster's Dictionary. It says, the winning or revival of personal commitment to Christ. And then I don't like the next bit, militant or crusading zeal. So that is a version of the way that we use the word evangelism. And it's certainly not what we do. Perhaps my best definition is this one. A guy called Roger Carswell, fellow evangelist. It's sharing the good news with those who are listening. And, you know, when I tell people that we go and preach on the streets, I often have this vision of the guy that we've all seen on the street corner with a suit, you know, the black tie, the big Bible under his arm, absolutely sort of shouting and harassing people. And nobody's listening. Now, I used to work in Exeter with a first floor office, looking down on a sort of a square where they used to come every week from, I don't even know which church it was. They would stand on the spot and they would take it in turns and they would preach the word. And because it was a nice wide area, you could see people coming down like little ants, and they'd get within earshot of this one, whoever it was. And then they would go into almost like single file on the opposite side of the... And then when they got out of earshot, they sort of disappeared into little ants again. So, as you said, we're not all called evangelists. We're all called to share to people that are listening and to talk to them about Jesus. Now, one of my favorite misquotes on evangelism is this one. It's attributed to Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Now, I would suggest that's a little bit like saying, go and feed the hungry, and if necessary, use food. As Steve said, we're not all evangelists. We all have different gifts and callings. And actually, when you look at Ephesians 4... Like the apostles and the prophets and the teachers, the calling of the evangelist is to build up, to prepare God's people for works of service and build up the body of Christ, etc., etc., until we attain the full measure of Christ in the knowledge of the God. So I'm not here to browbeat you into preaching on the street corner. And I'm not here to make anybody feel guilty that you haven't shared the gospel with anybody this week. And I've just realized I didn't do the Bible reading, so I'm going to do that next because it fits in just perfectly, which Helen is fully prepared to do. I don't know, I can't remember. I haven't got it written down. I can't remember what it is.
I love it when a plan comes together. Right, okay. Is it 2 Kings?
Is it 2 Kings 6?
I think it is. Right, here we go. Yes. Sometimes we talk to each other. All right. 2 Kings 6. And the verses are? Thank you. And the newsletter. Here we go. Yes, I know. I've slept since then. Right. Here we go. So, This is from 2 Kings 6, verse 24. And it's about a famine besieging Samaria. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, "Help me, my lord the king." Yeah, is that it? Sorry. That's the bit. Verse 26. There. And then chapter 7, Belinda. And about the lepers. Thank you, Melinda.
It is.
The siege lifted. Here we are. So then in chapter 7, we read, the siege is lifted. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? We will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace."
Oh, I'm going to phone. I'll have that. So, I mean, there's loads of verses of scripture we could use, especially those sort of like to make you feel guilty and browbeat you into evangelism. But I actually think the story of the 4 lepers is just, it's kind of where we're at, really. You know, they found themselves in a place of plenty, plenty of food, abundance of riches, a place of safety, a place of freedom. And their response, although not their initial response, but their response was, "We need to share this." Isn't that where we stand? You know, that's our motivation. We have something amazing to share. And I've been thinking about it, sort of, I suppose, loads. But people say, "Well, what difference does it make in your life becoming a Christian?" And I think, and Steve touched on it this morning, I love that little booklet. I think that's great. For me, it's freedom from the past. Peace for the present and a hope for the future. And we've got all of that. We could unpack, we could spend a whole morning unpacking all of that. Why would we not want to share that? Actually, the question I think is not so much why would we not want to share that, is more of a how do I share that? Or maybe why don't I share that? And I'm guessing kind of that last song there is we don't feel confident enough. We don't feel that we know enough. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want to be persecuted and hated. We don't want to be ostracized. Or we just don't know how to do it. I mean, Steve's right, you do get opposition on the streets, but I have to say, in doing it for the last quite a lot of years, it's rare. You get some conversations that are, people are a little bit aggressive verbally, but yet very, very rare, sort of beyond that. So as we say, a mission to Truro is coming up. It's going to be run this year, Wednesday the 5th of August to Saturday the 8th. And we're sort of in the season of preparing for that. Now, I have to say that I personally find it, one-to-one evangelism, difficult. I don't find it easy to turn conversations around to spiritual things. I find it much easier to be much more direct and go out and stop people and preaching on the street, I think, is a lot easier than actually going and doing one-to-one stuff like Jenny and a whole bunch of team would go out most weeks on a Wednesday morning. I find that really difficult. I find it much easier to get up with a sketchboard and preach, and then you've got a, hopefully an audience of people that are kind of vaguely interested, that they want to talk to you, or you want to talk to them. All these years I've been doing, I still get the real butterflies before I go, and I look for any excuse, and I think, oh, there's one cloud coming, it's going to rain, let's call it off. But once I get there, and you get into conversations, people have stopped to listen. It's pretty straightforward, and it's fantastic, it's brilliant. So what are we going to do? What is it all about? Well, hopefully there'll be five evangelists that are coming down that will be doing all the preaching, so we're not asking anybody to sort of come and do the preaching, although if you want to come and give it a go, you can. We will be using the true and false board, which I showed you earlier on, and that's really quite easy. Anybody could pretty much can come along and get to grips with that. Barney will be there singing songs of worship songs on the street, which I think does several things. I think the biggest thing is in terms of the spiritual atmosphere, it's declaring God's praise over the city. And so what's happening in the spiritual realm, the unseen realm, where that battle lies, there's a whole battlefield that's being done there. Barney's also got a tract that is written about his own sort of personal journey into through music, into faith and stuff. It's relatively easy, provided you can put up with people saying, no, thank you very much. They hardly ever say that because my approach anyway is that I'm within earshot. There's always people that stop and listen to Barney. I go, can I give you one of these? It's a little bit about the life story of the guy that's singing. And they almost always say yes and take it. We'll have a bookshop with Christian books, which I put the bookshop out periodically down in town. I just go down and I put it out, put the books there, saying, free books, please help yourself. The average is 2.5 books per hour that get taken. And my local big issue seller assures me that it's not abused, that people generally just take one book. They're not people taking them and putting them in the bin. I've checked the bins. I know that that doesn't happen. So generally it's unmanned. But if you kind of feel you want to come and be part of the bookstore and stand there and just talk to people as they come past and peruse the books, then that's one of the things. What else do we do? We meet every morning in here. I can't remember what time, about 10:30, 11, have coffee. We pray before we go. Then we go out down to town about 11:30. Back session of all the contacts. And we pray for those people, and then we go home. So that's the day for the team. So what can you do? Oh, actually, on course with it. Well, prayer. Pray. Pray with us and for us. Pray for God to prepare people's hearts. Pray that the enemy won't disrupt people and stop people from coming down to town on that particular day, that he won't stop people's ears as they walk past. Pray that people would actually stop and listen. And practically pray for dry weather. So, yeah, that's prayer, come and join us. One of the things that we need is a renter crowd. So if you'll be like everybody else, if you're walking down the street and there's a piece of street theatre going on and there's nobody stopped watching it, you might slow down, but you almost certainly won't be the first person to stop to see what's going on. You'll kind of slow down and walk past and, oh, sort of half interested. If there's a crowd of people, there's something going on, and you're not sure what it is, you'll stop, don't you? You stop and try and see what's going on and wiggle your way in if it looks good. So to have our own renter crowd of people that are there, when people come down, they feel people that are stood there watching. So, you know, if you do nothing else but come down and just spend some time as our renter crowd, then that'd be fantastic. Although, having said that, if you're going to do that, do pray as well. Don't just stand there and do pray. Come and hand out literature. We try only to give literature to people that have stopped and listened or have already walked past, if that makes sense. So if this is a sketch board where it's all happening, and if I've got, it depends on the size of the team. If I've got a big team, I'll have people out on each side of it giving out literature. So if I've got somebody working on this side giving out literature, I don't want them to give literature to people that are walking towards the action, because they'll go, first thing they do is turn it over and go, oh, it's about God, don't want that, and they keep going. So you want it to get the, to pick up with the interest when they get there. But people walking away from the action, they're the ones that we're giving literature to. That makes sense. Say, come and man the bookstall, come and work with literature with Barney. It's an easier kind of option. Or just drop by, say hello to the team. Oh, and the last one, pray. Can I sort of say in prayer to, now, not just for this event, not just for that week, but can we get into the whole thing of praying for the people of the city, the people in the surrounding area? You know, we wonder, the so-called quiet revival, right, it's been discredited by the government figures, but it's the fact of is, it is happening. Every church I've been to, it is a reality, it is happening. There is a quiet revival of people. Mainly sort of men, mainly young people coming into the church, even if you have got statistics wrong. Why is that happening? Well, it can only have come through prayer. I know Matt refers to it, the time during COVID when we used to meet up at Green Blob and pray every day for whatever it was, an hour each day, and we did it for months. And suddenly evangelism got a lot easier and lots of other things got easier. I believe it changed the atmosphere here in Truro and the surrounding area. Now, I know that there are people that pray. We meet every Thursday morning to pray. We've done that for years. But it's a relatively small handful of people that come along to that. So can I encourage you to really pick up the whole thing of prayer, of praying for the locality, pray for the, you know, the country, pray, just a whole bunch of stuff, that your kingdom will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Right, we've got... I could go on and on and on. I'm actually going to Sweden a week tomorrow to join the Swedish evangelists for a week's missionary training. They're going to, a whole group of people coming, and we're going to be training them each day, and then we'll be going out on the streets each day and coming back and doing more training. So I'm sort of part of the training program. So there's a whole week of training. We could do that. We could do that here. I could easily spend a whole week talking about this, but I know that there'd be nobody left in about 15 minutes' time if we did that. But one further opportunity, just to mention, coming up in September is St. Ives Festival. The 4th Street Methodist Church, I've asked if I would go down and take my photographic exhibition, which some of you will know about, called A Sideways Look. That's one of the things. It's an exhibition where I've some years ago did a project where I took some of the old masters that everybody knows, the old paintings, and reproduced them in photographically and put a kind of modern twist to it. And we'd be putting them up in the church there and just inviting people to come in and chatting to people. It's an amazingly easy piece of evangelism. You know, I don't speak to anybody as they come in. We always let them look around and have the space to do that. And then on the way out, just ask them, you know, what did you think? It's incredible the conversations we get. I'm looking for sort of people to come and help me. Just even if you could just come for one of those days, that'd be fantastic. There's another couple of the recognize somebody down the bottom of there. So yeah, so that's it. So I think that's my last slide. Yes. I don't have time to do this one, but often people say, well, what is success? And if I get invited to churches to run missions, I'll often ask, well, what are you looking for in terms of success? What have you been doing in terms of sowing seed as well? You know, because sometimes they don't sow any seed. Their idea of success is that lots of people get saved, and it's all down to you. And if it doesn't work out, then it's all your fault, even though they've done no preparation. So the video there, which I don't have time to show you, is I've shown it before. The angle scale is an amazing piece of thing that basically says everybody's on a scale of where they are in terms of their spirituality, from people that have no interest in spiritual things at all the way through to, you know, the different stages and to people to become Christians. And everybody's kind of on this scale. And success actually is talking to people, kind of listening. I always say that we've got two ears, one mouth, because we should listen twice as much as we should talk. So we listen. You've been listening to people, finding out where they are spiritually, sharing your story, your the gospel into that situation. And if you move them one step closer to God, that's success. You've moved them up the ladder, so to speak. Occasionally you meet someone at the bottom of the ladder, you can move them all the way at the top, but generally speaking, you're just moving people up the ladder a little bit closer. And that is success. I mean, take a look at it. I can give you the link and you can look at it at home. Okay, let's just pause to pray. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for this church. Thank you that we are a mission-oriented church and that we do loads and loads of stuff. Thank you that we live in a country where we have the freedom to go out on the streets and to preach and to share the good news about Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to sort of creep into church, hiding and hoping that no one sees us coming. And we don't have to lock the doors in fear that we're going to have the secret police raid us. We thank you for that freedom. Thank you for the hope that we have. And Lord, I pray that we would have a real sense of excitement about the hope that we have. So Lord, we pray for good news for everyone. We pray for Steve and Alison. Pray for your anointing upon their work that they do. We pray for the organization. I mean, they've just been fantastic over so many years. So we do pray for your continued blessing and anointing upon that ministry. And Lord, we pray for the mission for Truro. Lord, I pray that you would show us what bit of it we can be involved in. And Lord, we pray that it will once again be successful in terms of both moving people up the ladder towards you, but also in people that maybe are towards the top of the ladder becoming Christians. Thank you that we have seen a number of people over the years come to faith through it. So, Lord, we pray for your anointing upon each and every one of us, that our testimony, our story would be something that would just have a new excitement, and that we would look for those opportunities where we can share that with people that are at that point of wanting to listen. Amen. Let me just...